Hello. I'd like to welcome everybody to this to the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics and this celebration of the end of the year for the 2017 class of Perimeter Scholars International. My name is James Forrest. I'm the academic program director at PI. I mean, it's good to see that we have friends and family of the students here from I guess as far away as Peru and New Zealand, and that's always fantastic to see. And so we're here to celebrate the end of this kind of grueling program. I'm sure the students are glad that it's finally over, that it would never come. Maybe for some of the other people, I should mention, you know, what is PSI, what is Perimeter Scholars International? It's a very intensive coursework program in theoretical physics, and it has a significant research component, and the students in just the last few weeks have been talking about their research. The students also, at the same time that they come here and stay at Perimeter, they're also working towards a coursework master's degree from the University of Waterloo. It's been described in many ways. It's been described as a theoretical physics boot camp. It's been described as like drinking through a fire hose. And I'm sure the students here today have their own just as apt descriptions of the program. There's a lot of people that work to make this work. It's amazing how many of the resources of PI go towards making this program as successful as it is. From facilities to finance, from the bistro to something that starts with B, everyone across the whole institute helps make this program as successful as it is. I do want to mention a few people that especially are important for this program. We have seven teaching fellows that are the day-to-day contacts between with the students, and so much of the workload is theirs in academic. We have Tibra. You can stand up. I think you should stand up. Tibra. And Aggie. Gong, who's Gong? She's busy. Dan. Lauren. And then we have David and Maite, who are not able to be with us today. And in addition to that, of course, you know, running a program like this takes a lot of administrative support. Students come from all over. They have tons and tons of questions. And we have an amazing but small administrative staff that helps with that. Erica, where's Erica? She's right there. Thank you. And clearly, without a doubt, there was no way this program would work without the hard work, dedication of Debbie. And once Debbie retires, I'm retiring too. And I think everybody, I mean, you know, a special thanks to the students who came. Obviously, we can't have this program without you taking part in it. And you should be thankful to your friends and your family that supported you, not just here, but throughout your university career. You should give your friends and family a hand, I think. So this is the eighth year we've run this program, and so I can give you, this is the 2017 class of Perimeter Scholars International. We had 561 applications that gave rise to the 28 students who showed up in August. Those 28 students came from 20 different countries on 6 continents. We have yet to introduce an Antarctic student to the program. We have another fantastic number. 14 of these students are staying on to do PhD work with Perimeter researchers. So that's a fantastic number. And another really important number is this year, the fellows collectively introduced 3 new life forms. And so we've had 3 babies from the fellows. So that's another. Now, a big part of the success of PI is because of the partnerships it has, and a big part of the success of this program is the partnership we have in particular with the University of Waterloo. While, some students would come here even if they didn't get a real degree from it, a lot of students want that for their later career. So from the very beginning, it's been designed as a cooperation between Perimeter Institute and the University of Waterloo, so that the students in this program also work towards and earn a coursework master's degree that then later on goes on their CV and helps them get excellent jobs in theoretical physics. And so what I'd like to do now is welcome the director of that program, Graduate Studies in Physics, University of Waterloo in Guelph, Melanie Campbell, who will say a few words. Melanie?
Yes, so good afternoon to everyone, graduates, families, friends, and Perimeter faculty. I'd like to bring greetings to you from the Department of Physics and Astronomy and from the University of Waterloo, and point out that you're about to join the 190,000 UW alumni that we already have who come from over 150 countries. So we're very proud to have you join that group of alumni, and you're a particularly important group to the Department of Physics and Astronomy. I'd like to congratulate the graduates on their accomplishment in completing the PSI program, but I'd also like to congratulate the families, friends, and Perimeter faculty who have contributed so much towards this success. Graduation represents overcoming a challenge, and that's particularly true in the case of the demanding PSI program. You've been exposed to world-class learning environment with many sparkling intellects. But finding a place within that environment initially must have been somewhat daunting to some of you. But the challenge has been met, and it is my hope that undertaking this has enriched your lives and given you a chance to develop your abilities. As Browning said, a man's reach should exceed his grasp. The challenges faced in the PSI program are not just those of grasping big ideas in theoretical physics, although that is of fundamental importance. But for many of you, exposure to a new country, particularly Canada with its extremely cold winters, and a new language, and fellow classmates who are a diverse group with a broad breadth of interests and who come from all over the world, is part of that experience and part of that adjustment. You have come together from all over the world and learned to collaborate and solve problems together. And it's clear, and will become clear, I'm sure, during this ceremony, that you have gelled together as a unit. You've learned an important lesson. When diversity is encouraged and embraced, the group accomplishments are larger than the sum of the individuals. And that's always true in research projects that you will go on to do and other things you'll go on to do in your life down the road. As you go on to these next challenges, you will take part of PSI and part of the University of Waterloo experience with you. There are many paths forward. We heard that 14 of the students have chosen to stay and work with researchers at Perimeter Institute, and I'm very pleased because I saw the quality of those applications as director and was involved in the application and acceptance process. But many of you will go on to elsewhere in theoretical physics or perhaps to other careers. And some of you will just take a break, a chance to unwind from this very intense period. But after that break, you may miss physics, and you may think about coming back into physics, and if you do think about returning to Waterloo, we would be very pleased to see you. I fully expect that the skill set developed in the PSI program will assist you in overcoming the next challenges in your future. You have learned to work together, to approach challenges collaboratively. You've learned to think very deeply about problems and to solve difficult problems. You have also developed grit, and grit is the ability to sustain interest and effort towards a goal for a long period of time. These abilities are shared by the community of physicists to which you now belong, and they will allow you to overcome life's challenges beyond just the challenges in theoretical physics. You may, in fact, end up solving problems in theoretical physics, and I imagine that a number of you will, but you may solve problems in many other diverse areas in physics, from astrophysics, perhaps all the way through to experimental physics and biophysics, my own area. But beyond physics, like many other physicists, you may find your place solving problems in finance, artificial intelligence, international development, the environment, or even in areas yet to be defined. Again, congratulations on all your accomplishments. I hope that you fondly remember the PSI program and the University of Waterloo in the future.
So our next, I'll bring up Neil, but before that, I'll just tell you a little bit about how I got introduced to PSI. So I had Melanie's position a number of years ago. This was in 2009, and Perimeter was in the middle of changing, and they were finding this new director. And so we had this meeting, this very special meeting. It was a big mystery, and all these people were coming from the different universities around, and we heard that this new director had some sort of program he wanted to do. And so I met with him and kind of described this. And you all know Neil, he could sell anything. If Neil decides he doesn't want to do physics anymore, he could get rich as a salesperson, no doubt about it. And so the ideas sell themselves, absolutely. You know, he said, you know, I'd like to do this, you know, can we do this? And he wanted to find a way to do it. And of course, you know, I'm used to working in the university. And I said, well, you know, when do you want to do it? And he's like, well, now. Like, I want to start next year. I want these students. And this might have been the fall or something. It's already impossible. But somehow, with you know, a lot of encouragement and a lot of kind of give and take at the university, managed to get it going. And it's been going and growing steadily ever since. So, it was a great experience and a good start, and I'll introduce Neil Turok, the director of Perimeter Institute.
Okay, so great privilege to be here. First of all, let me apologize for my attire. I do normally wear a suit and tie to these things, but my research at the moment is so absorbing and exciting that I entirely forgot to go home and get my suit. And until 10 minutes before this event, and that my student in the audience is laughing because he knows this very well. But my excuse for that is, you know, why should women have all the fun? So it's time men dressed a little bit more flamboyantly. But anyway, this is no sign of disrespect to anyone. You see my note in the introduction, congratulating all the students. I think this has been a tough year for all of you, no doubt about that. You know, I'm sure there were moments during this year of great unhappiness and struggles, and you wondered, why on earth am I doing this? All I can say is that I hope that what pulled you through that was the thought that there's something magical about theoretical physics. It has within it these incredible theories which work to astonishing precision, and only in the last couple of years we've seen amazing verifications of these theories. The Higgs boson being discovered, the gravitational waves from the merger of black holes. You know, these are really magical things in science, and no other area in science has the same. Theoretical physics, as many of you know, I'm rather outspoken about where I feel the field is. I think for the last 30 years, it's been like a tree, growing more and more branches and leaves and flowers and fruits. And to be perfectly honest, I think it needs a good prune because many of these new directions are not necessarily correct, are not necessarily going to bear fruit in terms of describing nature. And so personally, I believe one of our big challenges as physicists is to prove things wrong just as much as we prove things right. I mean, this is, after all, how science progresses. And so proving something wrong, you know, should be valued as highly as developing a new scenario or picture. And so, in part, you know, I think you through this year have been exposed to many theoretical approaches and ideas. I hope you realize that these are not the final answer. Most of them are not at all the final answers. These are very much attempts to develop frameworks, which may or may not bear fruit. And so just as you've found, you know, huge lot of work and sometimes to wonder whether it's worthwhile, you know, this is very much the norm in research. We devote immense effort to developing frameworks and models. And what counts as success is often the decision that this framework is not succeeding, right? And if you have a very clear idea why it is not succeeding, and you can actually close off that avenue of research, you have pruned the branch, you know, the tree of physics down, hopefully focusing it in the most productive directions. And so I think likewise, you've had a, you know, you've been showered with physics and thoughts and ideas. I hope you don't draw the conclusion that physics is about just gathering more and more and more courses and fields and approaches and all that. On the contrary, it's about exploring everything and then deciding which way to go in the future. And most of what we do ends up being useless. Okay, so I will just say that very frankly. Most of the courses that you've taken will, in themselves, I mean, it's just honesty. Most of them will turn out to be fruitless. But the pursuit is an incredible thing. Just to be able to explore these ideas, to examine them critically, and to decide for yourself which of them you find fascinating, intriguing. Now, you know, so at the moment, I'm very fascinated with Enlightenment philosophers, and I believe the world needs more of that today. The world as a whole is in quite a confused state. And we need clear thinkers, we need logical thinkers, we need fundamental thinkers. And if you read the Enlightenment philosophers, I encourage you to do that, be it David Hume or Spinoza or Descartes. You know, these were really first principles thinkers who tried to justify what they were thinking about. And I would encourage you, having been exposed to this large diversity of physics, to maybe, as the next step, think to yourself, right, I have a lot of technical tools, I have a lot of exposure, I've seen a lot of things, just think about it like a voyage around the world. I'm going to sit back and try to decide for myself what's really valuable, what I want to devote myself to for my PhD, and don't rush. And maybe you felt a lot of this course was a rush. Well, now you don't need to rush anymore. Okay, you need to give yourself time to reflect on who you are, what you want to do, what's important, and which approaches in physics resonate with you. So I know currently in today's climate, many young people are, in my view, too worried about jobs. You know, I got to get a job, I got to have a career. By and large, you know, my advice to you would be extremely simple. If you want a job, don't do theoretical physics. Okay, it's not a pursuit which is about getting a job. It should not be about getting a job. It's a crazy, ambitious pursuit where you're going after the truth. And you realize 99.9% of the time you will fail. So, you know, and so in a way, your best hope is that someone finds the truth and you can play some kind of role in helping them. May or may not be you, it's largely a matter of chance. So, you know, I, I'd like to encourage you to go into this with open eyes. You've got the tools. As Melanie said, you've got tools which enable you to do anything. And in my career, what was always very reassuring to me is that I thought if I don't succeed as a physicist, yeah, I want to be a wildlife ranger in a game park in Africa where I come from. That was a really amazing prospect. So I thought, you know, if I get a job, I don't get a job, doesn't really matter because I've got something wonderful waiting for me. And I'd like you to all develop that sort of picture, right, as a fallback. Yes, go into physics, enjoy it, explore things, go for hard questions. But think of a really wonderful fallback, you know, that if the physics doesn't work out, I'm going to do this and I'm going to love it, right? And that's very reassuring because I think worrying about jobs and all that will not actually be helpful to your physics because the whole point of physics is to be exploratory and bold and ambitious and to try things out which may ultimately fail. So I've talked for too long. It's my great pleasure to introduce your keynote speaker. I want to say a little bit about Davide. So I had the great privilege to recruit Davide to Perimeter. He's smiling. Are you smiling because I talk too long? Sorry, it's a fatal flaw. So I had the great privilege to recruit Davide, and it wasn't easy because many other places in the world wanted to recruit Davide. But I'll tell you what struck me about him. Now, one thing about physics is we work with rules, okay? We set ourselves these strict logical frameworks, and it, of all sciences, it has the strongest rigor and logical rigor, and that's the definition of physics almost is logical thinking about nature. It's the most rigorous logical field. So all of these equations are, you know, we live in a prison. Physicists live in a prison where our equations actually have to work, okay, and make sense. And we can't change many, many things in the arena we work in. So one of the really important things to do, well, several important things to do, I've already emphasized the importance of proving things wrong. One of the very striking results I noticed in Davide is he was in a very prestigious place, Institute for Advanced Study. I'm not sure you were already there when you did this work. There was a fake conjecture made by an extremely famous physicist, a friend of mine, and it looked very bold and exciting and all that, and Davide wrote a rather short paper, maybe 8 pages, just proving conclusively this is wrong. And that was very impressive. Right? I mean, A, for the technical brilliance, I could not understand any of the field at all, but but to be able to do it so decisively and demolish this aspiration was really very impressive. And a great sign to me of somebody who thinks for themselves and doesn't follow, but tries to check, do the equations make sense? So that was really impressive. The other thing, equally impressive, is, you know, we live in these rules, but actually we'd love to break out of them because the rules often land you in contradictions. And we have some really profound contradictions today. The universe is full of a form of energy called dark energy, which is positive and not zero. And it controls the fate of the universe. It's really important stuff. But if you calculate how much dark energy there should be from quantum field theory, which I guess is somewhat on this board. No, this is all about gravity. But yeah, this could be quantum field theory. If you calculate the dark energy, you get infinity, you know, which is obviously wrong. So we have these deep contradictions, and I think many of us believe the only way to escape from them will be to escape from the frameworks we are currently constrained in by the previous success of physics. And so one of the other things Davide did was to show that there do exist a type of theories which describe the scattering of particles, well, describe something called the S matrix, the scattering of particles, but they cannot possibly be constructed in the traditional way. We have a traditional way of constructing theories, and Davide proved there have to exist certain kind of consistent quantum theory which cannot be constructed in that way. And so that tells you that all the machinery we learn and all the courses we take are in some sense incomplete, missing something, probably missing some very profound principle, again pointing at ways in which the very foundations need to be reformulated in a more sensible way. So that's all just introduction of Davide. Davide is a wonderful pleasure to have at Perimeter. I've been to his SCI lectures to learn about some of the stuff you took. I did understand some of them, maybe more than you, I hope. But it's a great pleasure to introduce Davide to give the keynote.
I have to say, it feels rather unfamiliar to be at the podium without giving a seminar or a lecture. I think this might be my first time ever. I'm relaxed. I'm so relaxed, actually, I'd forgotten about it. So I'm very relaxed. So I can imagine that this year has been really a whirlwind for you. Not only you have been attached to this fire hose of knowledge that has been injecting in short but intense amounts, big chunks of theoretical physics into your mind, but also because you began doing research, right? This was the second aspect of Psi. You've learned a lot, you have learned how to learn fast, but you've started doing research. And these two aspects are clearly, they're both very important in theoretical physics, in the life of a researcher. Learning new things very fast and research are always gonna be there for you. But they're also very different. It's often, I think, a surprise to discover how different it is to learn physics and to do research in physics. Indeed, it's perfectly possible to truly love learning physics and discover that you hate doing research. And there is nothing wrong with that. So when you learn physics, learning is a basically linear process. It can be very hard, incredibly challenging, but ultimately you know where you're going and you know how to go there. Research is quite different. It's like, you know, exploring a labyrinth blindfolded. You keep going very hard, you're very convinced you're doing the right thing, you're so enthusiastic, and then you look around and you discover that you're just where you started. It can be incredibly frustrating for long periods of time. It really requires the grit that was mentioned before. It can also be very exhilarating. I think I will forever remember the night in which I discovered the first tiny piece of truth, new piece of truth. Very tiny, completely, but it was so great. It just felt what was the right thing to do for me. Of course, I can also remember how it feels to look back and discover that you spent the last couple of years to give inane answers to pointless problems. It can happen. It's not fun. It's not fun, but you stop, you look around, and you try to see what's interesting to do instead. So I hope that you will bring some of the basic structure of research in your future life, independent of your career being in physics or not. The ability to both be guided by enthusiasm and look critically and honestly at what you're doing, to your assumptions and to your conclusions, and not accept something that is not quite right, not quite true. So the ability to seek truths and distinguish it from what's not true. This, I believe, will, if you acquire it, it will serve you well, no matter what you're doing in the future. If you're going into an academic career, well, welcome. It's gonna be occasionally fun. It's gonna be challenging. There will be failures, a lot of failures. Some of them will be the basis on which you build your successes. Some of the things I've learned doing those completely inane projects turn out to be a key element in projects that I feel have been very successful. I learned stuff that I I kept thinking, but why ever did I learn this? It would be completely useless. And then 5 years after, it turned out to be just a piece of a puzzle that I was completing. So keep trying, keep struggling, keep working, do your best, and you will succeed in different ways, but you will succeed.
Okay, we're going to call out the names of the students one by one, and they come and receive their SAI certificate. The first student we have tonight is Eugene Ajay. Eugene is from Ghana. His essay supervisor was... Wolfgang Wieland. Eugene worked on second quantization of FRW cosmology in the group field theory framework. A fun fact about Eugene, he's a true master of the deeply tactical game that is rock, paper, scissors. Rumors say he once disliked something. Most people don't trust these rumors. He particularly loves horror movies. Thank you, Eugene. Our next student is Javier Arguello Luengo from Spain. Javier worked with Gifre Vidal. His essay was on a generalized multi-scale entanglement renormalization ansatz, in which they derive more accurate conformal data from a critical lattice model. Javier either has dinner late as in Europe or dinner late in Europe. Javier's desire to put himself in danger seems to be only matched by the universe's desire to spare him. Javier's name is definitely not pronounced Javier. Okay, our next student is Alvaro Bayon Bordo. Alvaro is from Peru, and he worked with Rob Myers on bulk reconstruction of toy holography. Have you ever asked Wolfram Alpha a question? Alvaro was on the other side. Alvaro is one of the few people in the world who has mastered both yoga and quantum mechanics, yet decided not to exploit gullible people. Our next student is Yelber Fabian Bautista Chibata from Colombia. Fabian worked with Sean Tulin on light hidden sectors hiding in Higgs diphoton decay. Fabian is also known as Super Fabian, master of fantasy ball. Fabian is and will always be our Chinese emperor. Fabian loves Chinese food. You know that is true. So next we have Juan Ignacio Cachuso from Argentina. Juan worked with Louis Lehner on ill-posedness in higher derivative theories of gravity, white matters, and possible solutions. Size number Juan Singer. Juan can point out that the fridge is unplugged in more than 10 different languages. He has known to spend in excess of 8 hours playing Dungeons and Dragons and refuses to believe that baggage is a real word. Next, we have Barak Gabai from Israel. Barak worked with Frederick Achazo on an S-matrix approach to the classification of integrable theories. Scattering amplitudes or pool, isn't it a fitting combination? Frequently seen lurking at the pool table at all hours, Barak still hasn't found a decent hummus in Waterloo. Pool? Next, we have Anna Golubeva from Russia. Anna worked with... Anna worked with Roger Melko on detecting topological phase transition with machine learning. Anna is a longtime enthusiastic dancer, proficient in hip-hop style, tango, and many more. Much like a photon, it is impossible to observe Anna at rest. Next, we have Tomáš Gonda from Slovakia. Tomáš worked with Robert Speckens on resource theoretic approach to causal inference. Tomáš takes the cake for organizing the highest number of group activities. This doesn't even include the tea ceremonies. Personal tea consumption rumored to exceed 5 gallons per day. Next, we have Alfredo Guevara Gonzalez from Chile. Alfredo worked with Freddy Cachazo on holomorphic classical limit for spin effects in gravitational and electromagnetic scattering. Also known as Arufuedo Sama, principal benefactor of the subway in University Plaza. He also loves Chinese food so much. Alfredo likes spicy food like a fly loves a spider's web. Next, we have Emily Rose Carter Kendall from New Zealand. Emily worked with Akeem Kempf on particle creation using an annihilation operator. Emily is a member of a noble family, the Yelarkens. She is obsessed with chocolate milk, and her favorite color is rainbow color. Emily thinks she looks like a frog. Next, we have Richard Lopp from Germany. He worked with Eduardo. Richard worked with Eduardo Martin Martinez on extracting randomness from light-matter interactions. Much as he tries to pretend otherwise, we all know that his real surname is Loop. He enjoys bouldering, so it is fair to call him a Richie Scaler. He is still asking the bistro to buy more vanilla yogurt. All in all, Richard is a cultured man who enjoys classical music, fancy wine, fine cheese, and people not cycling where it is forbidden. Our next student is Sheng Zhao Luo from China. Sheng worked with Giffre Vidal and Lauren Hayward on the monotonicity of Renyi entropies along RG flows in 1 plus 1 quantum systems. Also known as Leslie, have you heard how Shun is like a Pauli matrix? She disappears without a trace, spreading the smoothie addiction syndrome. Next, we have Fiona McCarthy from Ireland. Fiona worked with Rob Mann on the breakdown of equal area law for holographic entanglement entropy. Fiona is the coolest person in paradise. Fiona's unabashed positivity has been proposed as a counter-argument to the neutral charge of the universe. These people have yet to meet Olivier. And then we have Alan Morningstar, who is from Canada. So Alan worked with Roger Melko on generative graphical models for many body physics. Alan's Xbox shall forever be the symbol of free time during the core courses. It was never unboxed. Alan pioneered the use of the hip-hop air horn in the psych class. He doesn't exist on weekends.
Surya Raghavendran from the United States. Surya. Essay was entitled A Mathematical Approach to Supersymmetric Field Theory. It was written under the supervision of Kevin Costello. Surya is a fellow of truly high culture, the only person in class who finds it easy being cheesy. He's currently developing plans to create the hive mind. Tomás Reis from Portugal. Tomás worked with Pedro Vieira on building a correlator with hexagons. It is a well-known alternative fact in Psi that Tomás is a strong and vocal Trump supporter. He eats way too much rice and can often be found drawing great works of art on his tablet. For him, pi is 3. He became a physicist because it was the closest thing to becoming a wizard. Andre Schieber from Israel. Andre's essay was entitled Corner Entanglement from Extensive Mutual Information, written under the supervision of Rob Myers. Andre's colorful attires are only matched by her colorful comments, in the sense that they both scare people in the streets. Olivier Simon from Canada. Olivier worked with Azamina Arvanataki on the emission of ultralight radiations from the superradiant cloud of a rotating black hole. Olivier variously likes to go by O Money, Black Simon, Schoolboy Q, or Sir Evil. Olivier is the master of Shank with a penchant for creating awesome time-traveling playlists and feminist adventures to McDonald's. Barbara Shoda from Croatia. Barbara worked on quantum reference frames and space-time symmetries with Lee Smolin. Barbara is the founder of Psionius Psionic, the not very successful but much loved Psy Instagram account. An international cheese smuggler, technically, Barbara is a Dalmatian. Suraj Srivanasan from Canada. Suraj Suraj worked under the supervision of Aldo Riello on gauge covariance from a fields-based connection. No matter how he feels about it, we are and will always be Suraj, a true master of the art of self-jet-lagging. Suraj can fall asleep essentially anywhere. An all-time magic champion, he looks calm, but he will destroy your soul, hopes, and dreams if you challenge him in any Nintendo game. Suraj is a superconductor of the PI Orchestra. Natanan Tantewakasadakarn from Thailand. Nat worked with Davide Gaiotto on dimensional reduction and invariance of symmetry-protected topological phases. One can always count on Nat to see stars, not just his astronomy skills, but also since his food is spicy enough to make weaker spirits hallucinate. Nat is the lead pianist in the famous jingle, Psy, and the songs Quantizing Gravity, A Physicist's Disney Medley, and Psy's Boom De Yada. Starts everyone's day with a truly insightful quote. Nick Vandenbroek from Belgium. Nick's essay was entitled Non-Perturbative QFT, Cimera to the Rescue, written under the supervision of Guifre Vidal. But what is I? One half physicist, one half software engineer, one half salsa apprentice. You might be wondering if the counting is correct, but numbers are kind of fuzzy when you don't sleep properly. Have I told you about polyphasic sleeping? The coat room is now his wardrobe. Jingshang Wu from China. Jingshang worked with Davide Gaiotto on the conformal boundary for the four-dimensional free gauge theory. Jingshang needs a girlfriend who knows algebraic geometry. Simply the most hardworking guy, both in physics and in the gym. He's also very kind, friendly, and according to some people, very handsome. Yihit Yargıç from Turkey. Yihit worked under the supervision of Laurent Friedel on the path integral in modular space. There's nothing more dangerous than yet a piece of paper and the words, I just had this crazy idea. In the weeks that he is not single-handedly solving quantum gravity, he focuses on solving the more approachable problem of world peace. Yihao Zhou from China. Yihao worked with Kevin Costello on a geometric proof of the generalized TKNN invariant topological order parameter equation. A word echoed in his mind, soft yet powerful. The question that brought together heroes and pioneers, the true calling in one's life. Cool. Yijin Zhao from China. Yijin's essay was entitled Extracting Conformal Data from a Critical Lattice Hamiltonian. Yijin worked under the supervision of Guifre Vidal. New. Everything is a tensor network. Yijin is never seen without his yellow jacket. not able to be here tonight, this afternoon, but part of the Psy class of 2017 also is Annie Wei from the United States, who worked with Richard Cleave on a review of quantum walk-based algorithms for searching and solving CSPs. Annie is a quantum computing whiz heading to MIT. Annie likes to play Super Mario Brothers theme song in her headphones while working. Her vegetable intake comes in the form of yummy home-dried fruit sent by her mom.
So this past year has been a unique experience for us, the BSI students. We went through a lot together and made good friends along the way. Today, we chose Tomasz to speak about it as our valedictorian. We all know a little bit of Latin, so it will not surprise you if I say that the word valedictorian is composed of two words, valus, which means the best, and dictus, which means word. So please welcome our valedictorian, Tomasz Reich, our guy with the best words.
Dear faculty members, physicists, PSI fellows and staff, family members, possible romantic, supersymmetric partners in the audience, and all other projections of higher dimensional entities. My fellow science, as Barras just pointed out, have honored me to the task of telling you about our year. It's weird calling it a weird. It's weird calling it a year. It's even weirder calling it a weird. it feels like a lifetime ago that we arrived in these halls, coming from all the corners of the world, especially since the world is a sphere, so it should have no corners at all. So after 1 year together, one can easily forget how we came from such different places and such different walks of life. From the southernmost town of Ushuaia, the bustling port of Accra, the tropical heat of Bangkok, the hobbit-filled hills of New Zealand, the crystalline coast of Dalmatia, to the very neighboring Niagara. And with so many different places come different cultures, different languages, different ways of thinking. Yet we clearly saw through whichever barrier there might have been, we're all people. We're all crazy. Sure, the richness of our experiences always colored our conversations in unexpected ways. We learn different ways of seeing the world, different ways of experiencing the world, different ways of saying the sentence, the fridge isn't plugged. But above all, we met individuals. And in many ways, I often feel that only by knowing people who came so far, I managed to find people so similar to me. Back in early PSI, I once remarked that everything we did seemed like the setup for a joke. An Israeli, an American, and a Belgian walk into a bar. This comment seems off now. The colors of our flags, a mere detail about our friends, our colleagues. Now I would say, three physicists walk into a bar. For we are physicists, or at least closer to being so, either infinitesimally close to being a physicist or merely infinitesimally closer. But that was the purpose of it all. This is why we took a Niagara-like waterfall of knowledge in a hard-hitting, fast-paced, ultimate, unforgiving turbo combo of courses every morning. This is why we endured through tutorials in afternoons that did not end and led to nights where we did not sleep. This is why we drank so much coffee and ate so many cookies to the point that we veered into being so round we could be in an electromagnetism textbook exercise. We did it to be able to know so much we could know no further, and thus have it to discover ourselves, to brave the world of ideas searching for more, driven by higher motivations like understanding nature, expanding our knowledge, finding mathematical beauty, meeting deadlines. It was a tough adventure, sure, but we choose to do physics not because it is easy, but because it is fun. And it's a sort of fun which is worth doing in good company. And I think it's fair to say we did. be it amongst our fellow scions or with all the great people at PI. We filled blackboard after blackboard, discussing homework, discussing research, discussing fun puzzles and revolutionary ideas that never came to be. Also a lot of silly nonsense. Actually, mostly silly nonsense. But we did much more than long nights of homework and existential dread. We found ever new ways of procrastinating by playing pool or sitting around thinking. We were outside, once in a while, playing frisbee, going bouldering, going to national parks, getting kicked out of national parks. Some of us sang together, others danced together, others just shared their musical tastes with varying success. We drank tea at home, a beer at the pub, and too much coffee at PI. There was soccer, squash, yoga, gym, and there was also cooking that undid all of the previous tasks. We adventured to realms of fantasy, took part in strategic geopolitical conflict, and found who among us was a spy. These were all in the context of games, of course, mostly. Oh, there was also bosonic activities, which became the term for parties. One of them was actually loud. All of them were actually quite fun. Although, perhaps in the end, what I will remember most fondly was when we just sat around and talked. Long, insane discussions that went well beyond physics. There were conversations over lunch, over a drink, over a blackboard. Seated wherever, in the library, in a Korean restaurant, under a tree, on a comfy couch. Waiting for time to pass, but secretly hoping that it wouldn't. There were stories, jokes, ideas, or whatever it is that waters the seeds of friendship. This is the part where things start getting cheesy. As a great thinker once said, in this life, it is not easy being cheesy. But I think it's now clear that we are accustomed to doing hard things. So let us be as cheesy as the Friday social we are missing. This class is a class of friends. It's not even a class of smaller groups, confined cliques like the poor confined quarks that make up all of us. We are bonded irrespective of personality, culture, interests, or even more sensitive topics like politics, religion, favorite theory of quantum gravity. We all sit together, we all live together. For me, this year can only truly be captured with the friendships that this year built and that built this year. Many of us must now move away. It is in the nature of the life of the scientists, and perhaps just in the nature of the modern world. But just as we converge here from far away, some of us must diverge, new adventures awaiting. Physicists are always hopeful about things that diverge, thanks to the wonders of renormalization. But even for those who stay, a different quest lies ahead. There will be new people, new schedules, new challenges. However, the new can be very exciting, which I think was what I would say about this year, and as Tolkien once so eloquently said, because this being physicists, most of us are nerds, and thus I must quote Tolkien, the world that is strong does not wither. Our relationships are not old yet, and they sometimes even still feel so fresh, but they are certainly strong. And the same modern world that carries us overseas will certainly bring us together, be it through future walks of life or through the wonders of technology. Well, for as long as those wonders of technology don't become our robot overlords. Although we could still be bodies while we are mutant servants to the machine empire. Speaking of the end of the world, we must arrive at the end of the speech, which is much nicer. There's free food. So let me wrap up some final words. To all our family and friends, here, at home, perhaps watching us through the stream, thank you for your support that you gave each one of us, even when so far away. It kept us whole. To the physicists of PI, thank you for the wonderful, stimulating intellectual environment that you allowed us in, for sharing your time, your knowledge, your ideas. To the staff of PI, thank you for keeping the Institute such a pleasant place to be, maintaining the physical as great as the physics. To Debbie, Erica, Jamie, which I did not look at because, sorry, to Debbie, Erica, Jamie, thank you for your time and effort that you invested in us, starting from even before we arrived. To the PSI fellows, thank you for your dedication as teachers, but also as guides and friends. and my BSI class. Thank you for the spectacular company this year. I hope we remain entangled, for we are Suraj. We are the Chileans of Waterloo. We are the hive mind. We are the letter Psi. We make physics great again. Barbara said I was here because I have the best words. Nah, I'm here because I have the best class. Thank you.
That was great. I'm going to go watch that again. like Thomas said, I mean, it's there's usually a Friday social, but because we have this graduation, we're having a reception following this right now, so you can mingle with your family and friends, and hopefully, you know, the other PI staff is around. If you're just visiting here, come and, you know, look around, see the Institute. Fantastic place. Thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for joining us in this great day, and that's it. Thank you very much. Congratulations.